Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
In the early hours of this morning, as you know, Israeli forces attacked multiple areas in Gaza, breaching the almost two-month ceasefire. Israeli military said this afternoon that it's continuing its attacks on Gaza following the series of deadly overnight airstrikes that killed more than 400 people, including women and children, and injured hundreds of others. In a moment, I'll speak with celebrated Israeli journalist Gideon Levy. But just before coming on air, I spoke with Claire Nicolay, who's the head of emergencies with MSF Gaza, who witnessed the onslaught early this morning. She's in Al-Mawasi in Gaza, and I first asked her what she had experienced.
We were quietly sleeping in Gaza, and suddenly we heard very loud bombing. So first bomb, and then followed by 15, 20 minutes of very heavy bombing, airstrike, not even airstrike, then artillery, and of course, pretty scary and very surprising how heavy it was. So that's how we woke up basically in the night.
And it lasted for about 20 minutes, half an hour, is that correct?
Exactly, 20 minutes to half an hour and very, very heavy bombing.
One of your clinics I know in Al-Mawasi was struck. Tell me exactly what happened.
Yeah, so we have been there in Al-Mawasi and we had this massive airstrike. Then that we understood that the current situation at 2 a.m. in the morning was for all over the place. So it means that all was on fire, very heavy bombing and artillery as well, airstrike, quadcopters all over the Gaza Strip. Then suddenly we heard directly the ambulances, of course, moving the different casualties that happened directly after this.
We know that the number of fatalities is reaching about 400 or so as we speak. Was there any warning from the IDF about all of this?
No, there was no warning at all. So that was why everybody was surprised, because in the middle of the night, all over the Gaza Strip, nowhere that you can move somewhere safe. So it means and really constantly for 30 minutes, there was this strike. And then all over the night, it continued a bit more sporadically. But basically, there was no warning whatsoever.
Can your hospitals and doctors cope, Claire?
Well, the situation is quite catastrophic when you receive almost 1,000 patients all over the Gaza Strip with already hospitals that are pretty much damaged and unfortunately situation not being at the best at the moment. So honestly, it's quite difficult. And of course, we try our best at all levels to give good care, but it was quite a nightmare for this night.
And there's still a major lack of medical supplies, is there, and aid supplies?
There is a major lack of supply. Obviously, since 2nd of March, no truck arriving to Gaza, so no electricity now. Water is also being cut. So basically, you can imagine chaos completely inside Gaza at the moment.
Is there a fear now that these strikes will continue?
This is one of the major issue and a major fear the population, because by this direct attack without any warning, of course, everybody thinking that there is no more ceasefire and that this will continue. Population has been already displaced for some areas that Israeli army requested the population to move. So, of course, everybody is scared that we are back to the very heavy strike and heavy bombing that used to be happening in Gaza.
Israel has said this morning, Claire, that Hamas is taking aid and medical supplies for themselves, and that they will continue their military campaign until Hamas has been eradicated. What do you think the impact will be on the civilian population if that happens?
Look, the thing is that what we are seeing in the hospitals, in the health centers, because many health centers has received many wounded the night, we saw lots of women and children. And that was a massive part of the wounded and the deaths of this night. So we see that civilians are paying the high price on this war, and also now there is nothing on the market. There is no more trucks arriving, so basically we can imagine that situation for civilian will continue to be as it is now, meaning that there is no more hope. They are not really living. I mean, they are barely living, really, in that condition. So if it's reset with heavy bombing all the time, I mean, already everything is destroyed. I don't know how to describe that, but it's incredible. So I don't know how population can continue living in this situation.
And can I ask you about the hopes to restart this ceasefire that we've had for some time now? Is our hopes fading, do you think?
Yes, well, that's the fear of everybody, that we don't know what will happen with the talks, and we are scared that, unfortunately, peace is not anymore a thing. And even though there was still some activities, military activities over the ceasefire, which was more truce than a ceasefire, by the way. So nevertheless, everybody is fearing that we go back to very heavy fighting and very heavy bombing.
Okay, Claire Nicolay, MSF, Head of Emergencies in Gaza. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm joined now by Gideon Levy, Israeli journalist and author and columnist with Haaretz, listening to Claire there. Gideon, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What is your reaction and your perspective on the strikes overnight?
What can you say? You just heard the descriptions, and that's the reality on the ground. And you can be just embarrassed, ashamed, or really depressed hearing all those descriptions after 17 months of mass killing in Gaza. Israel decided to renew it. What was not achieved in 17 months will be maybe achieved in another 17 months, and another 50,000 Palestinians being killed, most of them women and children. I mean, there is so little to say about it because it's really outrageous.
If there is embarrassment or shame or depression about the renewal of the strikes, how widespread is that in Israel, do you think?
Not at all. I mean, it's really a tiny minority who cares about Gaza in Israel. But there is a big, big concern about the fate of the hostages. Because while bombing Gaza, Israel is declaring death penalty also to the hostages. Nobody believes that the hostages will survive another attack like this. So this is a great concern in Israel.
Indeed, you're right. It chimes what you're saying with what I read this morning from Muriel Aronov, a 62-year-old pensioner living in Tel Aviv. And Muriel says, this morning, the moment we realized that we're going back to war, the first thing I thought about was, what about the hostages? This is a death sentence for the hostages, and it's simply terrible, says Muriel. I'm looking at your newspaper, Haaretz, the newspaper you write with. Netanyahu wants endless war in Gaza, but most Israelis don't want to fight anymore, is the headline. So how can the Prime Minister justify this?
Because there is a sense of enthusiasm in Israel, and if not enthusiasm, at least obeying, to any opening of violent actions toward the Palestinians. I don't remember any violent attack over the Palestinians which was not supported by the majority of the Israelis. Later on, the question marks start to rise among a small part of Israelis. But most of the Israelis support any kind of violence toward Palestinians. That's a matter of fact. I don't remember one war that Israel started without a very massive support in public opinion. Was it justified or was it not? The Israelis would always support more a starting of wars rather than taking some measures toward peace.
What about the second phase of the ceasefire then?
I never took it seriously. I kept on saying, maybe also in your program, that I don't believe it will be implemented. And now, obviously, the chances are much, much smaller, if at all. I mean, Israel might claim that it does so in order to put pressure on Hamas to agree to all the terms that Israel had put. But we know by now that military pressure does not promote any deal. By all means, on the contrary.
And briefly, we know that these strikes, that the White House was consulted. So instead of there being a restriction from Washington, there now seems to be an allowance of this type of activity.
And that's the most worrying part of it. Because if there is a green light, and it's quite clear that there was a green light from Washington, then the sky is the limit, or shall I say, the hell is the limit. Because if the White House gives Israel a free hand, there's no one to stop another brutal attack over Gaza with all the consequences, with all the violations of the international law, of any kind of morality, humanity, there will be no limits. I mean, the only one who could stop it is Donald Trump. And as I would expect it to be, he just supports it.
Well, the hell is the limit is that is a chilling line from you and for anyone who's followed this conflict over the last number of months or years. I hope that is not true. But Gideon Levy, Israeli journalist and author and columnist with Haaretz, thank you very much indeed for joining us and giving us your perspective on overnight activities from the IDF overnight. Now, before we go to a break, let me bring you some updates. The Russian President Vladimir Putin has agreed to a proposal by US President Donald Trump for Russia and Ukraine to stop hitting each other's energy infrastructure for 30 days and give a corresponding order to the Russian military. That's a short statement from the Kremlin. And if there is any more of an update on that or any of the phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, we'll bring it to you.